Welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all of the latest sporting action from around the Rebel County and further afield. A huge national issue, not just here in Cork, is of course the skirt/short issue that's ongoing in Camogie and really catching fire, and rightly so as well. The Waterford and Cork Camogie panels say they're bitterly disappointed that today's Munster Camogie final was postponed. Both sets of players had indicated their intention to wear shorts rather than skirts before the game, of course, and Munster Camogie pulled the fixture just 16 hours before it was due to throw in. In a joint statement, the players say they had meticulously planned for the game and they feel completely let down that it was called off, adding that it was an opportunity to take a step forward from the recent controversy, which of course it was. And to talk to me about it was our very own Ger McCarthy. Right, we're delighted to be joined here by Ger McCarthy. Ger, we were supposed to be you were supposed to be at the Cork versus Waterford Munster Camogie final today. I'm sure great occasion down in the Rag and Tip. What's unfolded has been nothing short of an absolute embarrassment, and ineptitude seems to be showing completely in all areas from the Camogie Association over the skirts versus shorts issue, where a Munster final is pulled 16 hours before throwing was set to take place.
Yeah, Dan, no arguments with that. It's ineptitude, just a cop-out is how he described it on social media by the Munster Camogie Association. Look, the people in Munster Camogie are volunteers. They volunteer to do these jobs. They volunteer to keep the whole thing going and the provincial championships going, not just at senior but across all age groups. It's a lot of work, a lot of effort. But if you're going to put out a statement on a Friday night at 8 o'clock with the intention that nobody's going to take much notice of it, because in the media, as we both know, that's mostly when, you know, statements go out that people try to bury news. And if you're going to put into that statement that you're doing it in the interest of the players, then you better expect the backlash. Because, you know, had the Munster Camogie Association come out and said, you know, we're not comfortable playing this game, we're, you know, our delegates or match officials aren't, you know, they know what's coming. They know the players, both sets of players are adamant they're going to wear a pair of shorts. We know that's in breach of the rules and we don't want to go ahead with it. You know, I'd have some bit of sympathy. But the way the statement came out, the timing of the statement and the wording of the statement, and as we've seen since then, another statement, it's just been a week of statements from the Cork and Waterford players, a combined statement just expressing their absolute anger and disgust, as you said, 16 hours before a Munster final. And it's not just because it was done on a Friday night, but as the Cork and Waterford players have said in their latest statement, they've been planning for this, not just all week, but in the last number of weeks. Both teams, both panels have been, you know, getting their bodies ready, getting their training right, getting everything right, you know, getting the fluids, nutrition, getting it all right. It's not just turn up on the day. There's two or three. There's an intense week that goes into this. And it's a Munster final. It's a trophy. And it's an opportunity for Waterford. You know, they were beaten by Cork the All-Ireland final, you know, to get back, have a cut off the three in a row chasing Cork. And look, Dan, we should be talking about that today. We should be talking, blowing the rag about what would have been a cracking game, about two teams with serious aspirations of getting to an All-Ireland final again this year, talking about the brilliance of the Camogie Championship over the last couple of years. But instead, we're locked in this constant stream now of statement after statement after statement, where common sense really has gone out the window, and there's been very little common sense from the Camogie Association or from the Munster Camogie Association in the last couple of days and weeks. They can't hide behind statements. They can't hide behind, we're doing this in the players and the welfare of the interest and all this. Like, it's clearly a cop-out, as I've described it. And my other point that I put up on social media last night, which drew a bit of attention, I said, can you imagine, Dan, 16 hours before Clare and Tip were to take the field in the Munster Men's Hurling Championship, if it was called off because of something to do with the rights about helmets or shorts or shorts or something, can you imagine the outcry? You may be sure to be sorted within 24 hours. This isn't good enough. This isn't good enough from the Camogie Association. It's not good enough from Munster. And it's, as always, it's the players that have been caught in the crossfire of all of this absolute ineptitude, stupidity. And, you know, the whole idea that the GAA and the Camogie and the LGFA is a big democracy, well, that's fine. But sometimes common sense needs to come to the front, and sometimes you don't have to wait for a special vote. Sometimes you don't have to go and vote on something again when every single player in the country is all they're asking for. Just to confirm for our listeners, it's not they want to get rid of skirts. A lot of people are misinformed and commenting on social media. It's not getting rid of skirts. It's giving every young girl and not so young girl that plays Camogie the option to wear a pair of shorts or wear a skirt. Simple as that. Why we have to go to a special Congress to decide on that, why there can't be a relaxation of the rules until that Congress, I really don't know. And I should be in the rag, I should be on the sideline, doing my usual spiel, talking about the brilliance of two very, very talented teams packed with unbelievably talented players. Instead, we have another week of statements and counter-statements to come down, and that's a real, real sad indictment of 2025 in the Camogie Association.
Does this maybe just encapsulate a lot of people's thoughts or, you know, whatever, towards Camogie in general, Joe? I'm sure you know yourself as well as I do, you know, Camogie teams up and down the country, they'll be hunted out of their own pitches because the men's senior team might want to go training some night. You know, the men's senior team will get access to the gym. The Camogie players or LGFA players will be hunted out. Do you think it's just kind of summing up a general sentiment maybe towards Camogie and women's sport in general at the moment?
I don't know if it's summing it up, but I certainly think it does reflect a lot of negativity towards women in sport. I think that's coming to the fore. You can hear it in the exasperation of the likes of Aisling Thompson and all the players, Niamh Rockett, and all those players that had to come out the week they should have been preparing for a Munster final, instead had to come out and talk to the cameras and talk about, make statements. Laura Tracy had to do the same. No, the GPA had to get involved. I've always said, and I've been on the beat now a good 10 years with ladies football and with Camogie, I've always said that equality is not giving the girls a pitch over there to go and play their games. Equality is understanding that the men's main pitch is just as much the right of the ladies' senior team, of the Camogie team, when they have a match or they have a training session. Unfortunately, there are too many negative and archaic attitudes to that. I think a lot of what is holding up the three associations coming together is embedded in that we're still dealing with a lot of old attitudes and out-of-date attitudes from not just men but women as well. And I suppose you could point at that and say, look, that there is quite a lot of inequality towards Camogie, but there's so much positivity around it too, Dan. There's so much to be thankful for. We're living in an era of one of the best ever teams, in my opinion, from Cork, not just in Cork, but one of the best ever Camogie teams. We should be talking about three in a row. At the very top level, the likes of Amy O'Connor, Aisling Thompson, Hannah Looney, Saoirse McCarthy, all these players, they're up there with the best hurlers in the country. And like, that will raise a few eyebrows out from hurling aficionados that are listening, but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. And the other sad thing, I think, as well, out of all of this, as well as the inequality, Dan, and I think Trace O'Callaghan has an article in today's Irish Examiner, and it's well worth reading because Trace has been there, done that with the Cork senior team, won All-Irelands at a time when nobody wanted women even out on the pitch, let alone playing Camogie. And her point is that amid all the negative, amid all the negativity and all the statements last week, when the Dublin and Camogie teams, or Kilkenny Camogie teams, decided to put on the pair of shorts, I think it feels like a lifetime, we were over a week ago now, and were made go back in and change into their skirts and play their Leinster semi-final, nobody asked what the result in the game was. Nobody looked for the result. Nobody looked for any information from the game. They were just so caught up in the negativity and the scorched debate. And there's so many different attitudes and ideas and views coming into the central debate. But the central debate is a lack of common sense, then. That's what we're dealing with here. Not just inequality, lack of common sense. A Camogie board, a national board, that can't make a simple decision that's based on common sense, and that they can still hold their democratic vote on the thing in the 22nd. But here's the other thing, Dan. The last time this became a problem was the last time it was voted on. There was a lot of people looking for this to be changed. The last time this went to Congress, and it was voted down by the delegates at the actual Congress. So who's to say, even amid all the headlines that we've been getting, that the delegates that will go to the next conference won't vote it down again? We don't know.
Who are the delegates, sure? Who puts them in the position?
Good question. Very good question, Dan. And I can tell you now, I have never taken notice of the name of a delegate going to a national vote in my life. But I'm going to be taking notice of this one. And the whole country is. And that's the Camogie Association's fault. That's the Camogie Association's fault. That's the Munster Camogie's fault. These, again, are volunteers. For each of those delegates or volunteers, they give you up their free time for the good of the sport. And I get that. I understand that. But you are now being tasked with a mandate from the players. It's the young girls all over the country, not just in Cork, that go out on the pitch that want a choice to wear a pair of shorts or wear a skirt. I mean, when you think about it, Dan, and you break it down, it's a common sense. It's not even an argument. It's not even a request. It's not a demand. It's the players saying, the most basic human right is that for young girls and not so young girls, we would like the choice to wear skirts or shorts. That's all. We're not changing the rules. We're not looking for money. We're not looking for pay for play. We're not looking for more money because God knows they don't get any anyway. And here we are with the GAA having to intervene yet again and force the Camogie Association into an emergency meeting, force them into an emergency vote. And in the meantime, no jurisdiction, no direction to the players. In the meantime, here's what we can do. Maybe we should just relax the rules. And there was a statement came out from the GPA the other night. I don't know what day it was, no, I have at this stage, but maybe it was Friday or Thursday. And it asked the Minister for Sport to intervene. And I was wondering, I raised my eyebrows at that. I was saying, why are you asking the Minister for Sport to get involved now? But it's pretty obvious that the GPA knew where the Munster Camogie Association decision was going. They knew what was coming. And we're now in a state of limbo. That any girls playing Camogie this week, are they supposed to wear skirts? Are they not allowed to wear shorts? What will happen to them if they do? And until that vote is taken, and again, Dan, we don't know how the delegates are going to vote. Who are the delegates? Very good question. And where will the vote take place?
Well as I was saying, is there probably a siege mentality now building within the association? You know, forget all the outside noise. We're going to do what we want. We're going to be as archaic as ever. And they're unfortunately... They could possibly bring embarrassment once more to their association, albeit if they're volunteers or not, that's beside the point.
Another good question, Dan. You're asking all the right questions. I think, unfortunately, you might be right. And I think that, if you just think for a second, the Munster Camogie Association had no problem, but they made the decision to cancel a Munster senior final 16 hours before throw-in, rather than face some difficult decisions, that when this vote comes around, you will actually have people in there who are probably saying, to hell with what everybody's saying. This is our tradition and we're going to do what we think is best for the sport. But therein lies the problem, Dan. There is a chasm between what the players want and are asking for and what delegates think is best for the game. And that's where the crux of this problem started. It's where the last vote was voted down. Because of that, the players were not listened to. And my concern, as you rightly said there, is who's to say that people and those delegates will turn around now and go, no, we're going to keep doing what we think is best for tradition and for our sport, and we're just going to vote it down. And then where are we? Whereas if the Camogie Association stepped in, said we'll have a vote on this at our next, we don't need an emergency vote, no lads, we'll do it at our next Congress next year. But in the meantime, we're going to relax the rules and let players make that decision. This would have blown away in 2 days. Mm-hmm. And here we are into week two, and it's not going away. The Camogie Association better get it into their heads that it's not going away, that the players will escalate their issues. Their mandate to all of the players, the way the Waterford and Cork players have stood together, I can guarantee you players all over the country will do the same. So it's just, I mean, there's a derogative term I could use to describe the whole thing as a show, but it's not getting any better. It's going to get worse. And we're looking for leadership here now from the Camogie Association to say, you know what? This is escalating beyond the point of our control. We're going to take the decision as a Camogie Association, relax the rules until the Congress, give girls the chance to wear skirts or shorts and intercounty players the same, but we will vote on it the next time the vote comes around. But in the interim, let's just relax it and let's all get back to doing what everybody wants to be doing in the first place, which is playing the damn sport.
If you're a young girl, whatever age, 10, 12, 14, and you're watching on this absolute mess, what must you be thinking? I mean, the Camogie Association's number one duty is surely to look after their players, and from what I can see, they don't even seem capable of doing that. Women's sport is probably struggling, as you probably well know, for numbers anyway, and we see the massive amount of drop off at those age grades anyway. If you're a young girl, what are you thinking, Jordan? Are you thinking is it worth the hassle at this stage if that's how an association treats its players?
If you're a young girl at the moment, you're probably looking at all these headlines and wondering why wasn't the match played at its most basic. Why did the match have to be called off because they wouldn't let the players wear shorts? And the one thing you get with kids, Dan, and I have them, is pure honesty, because they have no filter. They're just going to ask you exactly what they want to ask and ask you that exact question. In West Cork, where I'm based, the Carbery Camogie, we've produced some fantastic intercounty players over the last number of years. Fiona Keating, Saoirse McCarthy, Libby Coppinger, just to name a few off the top of my head. And it's not a Camogie stronghold. So they're fighting all the time for the attention of these players to play Camogie, because you've got rugby, which is absolutely rocketing in popularity. You've LGFA, you've soccer, you've rowing. There's a million different sports, basketball, road bowling as well, where I come from. So battling for the attention of players and talented players is not an easy thing to do in 2025. And all you're doing with these decisions, and your tunnel vision around the things. And I get the impression a lot of these decisions are all about control, Dan. The Camogie Association are saying, hang on, we're going to keep control of this here now. Munster Camogie saying, we're in control, but we're not going to take any of the hassle. We'd rather call off the game than deal with any of the hassle that's been caused. The control and the chasm between the players and the association is growing. And we saw what happened with the Cork Hurlers not too long ago, Dan. When strike action, they were forced into no other option but to go into strike. I hope it doesn't come to that. But I know that a lot of the players are not militant, but are just at the end of their tether. And if you're an inter-county player, at the end of your tether with the association, to go back to your original question, a young girl watching all these headlines, looking at what's happening, seeing all these things and matches being called off and wondering what in the name of God is going on, you would be inclined to pick up a basketball, a football and a rugby ball instead, because there's a hell of a lot less hassle in just putting on the gear that everyone has a choice to put on. But this is a problem, and this is a growing problem of the Camogie Association's own making, added to by the Munster Camogie Association's cop-out of pulling the Munster final rather than deal with just getting on with the game. And they're the ones now who are going to have to face the music. But my worry, Dan, and my real worry, I go back to it again, that Congress, as you said, there's no guarantee this will get voted through, despite people thinking there's no way it can't get through. I would say to those people that say there's no way it won't get, but do you think we'd be here after 2 weeks? And where we are with the whole skirt versus short debate, and it's not even a versus debate, it's a choice. Give the players a choice to wear one or the other. Some players like wearing skirts, some players like shorts. Who cares? It's about the game and it's about the players that play the game. And we have gone backwards, backwards, backwards in the last 2 weeks, to the point I'm getting concerned that if it isn't started quicker and sooner before that Congress, there will be a lot more action on the players' part, I think. And who knows what they'll do around the country. Like, there's championships, there's sponsorship as well. I just want to mention that then. Have sponsored the Camogie Association and the All-Ireland Championships the last couple of years. They're a brand name known all over the world. I just wonder what they think of all of this. Mm-hmm. Because they are pointed at females, at women, in their line of sponsorship and what they do and the amount of money. And it's not just Ferry, but it's all the other people and other companies around Munster, Leinster, Ulster and Connacht that pump money into Camogie to try and get it going. They're looking at this going, what is going on? Why are we putting money into this association if this is the way you treat your players? And I think maybe the Camogie Association need to take a step back and maybe get a call or two from their the money and the people who are paying them all this money, and they might change their tune a bit quicker.
Do you think they've gone into hiding to a certain degree, as you already mentioned at the start, releasing the statement late over Friday completely, you know, hoping Donald Trump or someone takes the headlines over Saturday, and the headlines are probably already written for the newspapers, etc., etc., and then having the special Congress 2 weeks away, so they're probably hoping that the noise dies down in the meantime?
I think, to be fair, I go back to it again, these are volunteers. I think they were worried, and there was some unbelievably stupid people out there who got in touch with members of the Camogie Association with horrible messages. We cannot condone that. That cannot be condoned. No matter what the Camogie Association do or don't do, sending them hurtful personal messages will solve nothing. And it's the same for the Munster Camogie Association. They've made their decision. We have to live with it and deal with it. But there's all those people on the Munster Camogie Association need to be left alone, Dan, in terms of from a personal point of view. Sending them a personal message, having a go at them, is childish, immature, and only sets everything back further. So I would say that first of all. I think that the next 2 weeks, I mean, what difference does it make if it's 2 weeks or 2 days or 3 weeks? Why can you not have the emergency Congress this weekend? What do you need to have the emergency Congress? Does everybody have to be in the same place? Can it not be done remotely? Can it not be done via Zoom or a Teams, you know, multiple people, you know, putting their hands up and making the vote? I do think they've gone to ground now, because I'm getting the impression the Camogie Association knew that this would blow up, but maybe not to the level that it has blown up, because they once again underestimated the players and the players' ability to band together when things are tough and when things have gone against them. This is their association that is not representing them. And you can put out a statement at 8 o'clock on Friday night like Munster did, but I think that was a kind of a knee-jerk reaction, Dan, more than anything else. I think they were just so concerned with the negative backlash that they might get. This was the easy cop-out and the easy way out, so they took it. Mm-hmm. But if you're putting out the statement, do not say you're doing it for the benefit of the players, because that no reflects incredibly badly on you, and everybody knows that that's not the case. Finally, if the Camogie Association are serious about putting an end to this, if the Camogie Association are serious about listening to their players, and if the Camogie Association are serious about listening to all those volunteers that give up their time, their effort for Camogie, not just in Cork, but everywhere in every corner of the country, do the decent thing. relax the rule between now and the 2 weeks and give every player in the country the right to wear whatever they want to wear for the match. Have your vote when it comes to it, but don't spend the next 2 weeks dealing with statement after counter statement after newspaper negative headlines. And all the sponsors, don't forget, they're the ones that are cutting this now as well. If you really want that to stop, and if you really want to get on with things and get back to what we all want to do, which is talk about the players, the sport, and the thing that makes Camogie so brilliant, do the decent thing. Relax the rule. Do it today. Put out a statement saying if you, any players, inter-county or club, whatever age group, from under six up to senior and beyond, you can make your choice of skirt or short, but we will still vote on it come Congress. I think that's the only sensible thing to do. Whether they'll do that or not, I don't know. And here's the last thing, Dan. When they do come to vote on this, how is that vote going to be taken? Where is that vote going to be taken? And if you're going to be transparent about it, we need to know who the people and the delegates are that are voting on it. Because then, if we go two more weeks of this and players pulling out and players being forced to issue statements affecting the whole championship that's coming up, and then you vote it down, well, that's on you. The simple answer is let the girls, young girls playing Camogie and the adult players playing Camogie, let them make the most basic, simple choice of skirt or short, voting it properly when the time comes. But in the meantime, let's just get on with the games and do the sensible, most common sense thing. I don't see why they can't do that.
Well, one thing I don't understand was the relaxation of the rules in senior club games up in Dublin. So are those games under the Camogie Association null and void as far as they're concerned, or will they be counted, and why couldn't that happen down here in Munster, we'll say?
That's a question for the Leinster Camogie. But I think it's absolute common sense. I think there's a lot of people there looking at it going, you know what, let's just get on with it. And if Munster Camogie had taken the same approach, unless Munster Camogie Association were told something else, we don't know that then. Maybe what happened in Leinster, maybe the Camogie Association came down on Munster straight away and put a lot of pressure on them. That might come out in the wash over the coming days. And I would understand it then from the Camogie, but it's still wrong. It's still stupid. But if they were forced into it, that's another day's work, another debate. But it's a good question. I mean, if it's okay for matches to go ahead in Leinster, why is it not okay for the games to go ahead in Munster when two sets of players are willing to wear a pair of shorts? Mm-hmm. What difference does it make? Jesus, Dan, that's sorry. No, but the more I say it, what difference does it make? I mean, if you have to go to a Congress to make the most basic, simple, common sense rule, relax the rule until then for the benefit of the players and then have your vote. I just don't understand why they can't do that. I really, really don't. And I do think there's a bit of a power trip in all this from the Camogie Association. And it will be interesting to see in the coming days and weeks, and it will come out, were Munster Camogie forced into that decision? Or did they make it themselves? And if, as you said, why is it okay for the Leinster Camogie Association to allow the games in Dublin to go ahead and not down here? Now you're getting splinters. Now you're getting different versions of everything. And that's all your own doing, Camogie Association. So go away and do something about it.
Yeah, I think it's about control. Lastly, how do you think it will end?
My big concern is that when the vote comes, it doesn't go through. That there are some people there are delegates out there that have had enough of the negative headlines and have a different view on things than you and I do, and most people do. And there are delegates who will believe, which is their right, who will believe that the best interest of the Camogie Association is not to change the rule, believe it or not. I think it was 70% they needed, it was a 60% voted the last time. So if that's the case, are those same people going to vote the same way or change their minds now with all this pressure that they appear or perceive to have come on them? I don't know. My gut feeling is that somebody will eventually step in some way and make a decision on behalf of the Camogie Association. I think the minister probably now has to get involved. The government has to get involved because this is a national. This is spreading nationwide, not just in at inter-county level. And I do think common sense will eventually come through. I do think the rule will be passed that it's okay for a player to wear a pair of shorts or a skirt. But until then, and how long that takes, and whether that happens at this emergency Congress, I'm not 100% certain. It's just going to be nothing but a trail of negativity. And Camogie loses in all this then. Nobody wins. Camogie, the players, the association, the provincial associations, everybody loses until somebody takes the step of a common sense step, changes the rules and relaxes the opportunity for players to wear either skirts or shorts until they make their big decision. But what's happened over the last couple of weeks, I would have serious concerns that when that vote comes around, that it isn't passed to whatever percentage is needed. But we'll have to wait and see.
All right, John McCarthy, thanks so much for joining us. Hopefully it gets resolved sooner rather than later. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
Right, the ref's whistle has gone for half time, but still plenty more on this in the second half. Don't go anywhere. The Big M. Welcome back to the second half here on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. We spoke to John McCarthy before the break about the Camogie Scart issue, which shouldn't, of course, be an issue at all. But we're now going to hear from ex-Cork Camogie star Sarah O'Donovan, who was in conversation with Owen Sheehan from our friends in Off the Ball.
An image on the Waterford Camogie Twitter account with the fixture details for tomorrow. Waterford versus Cork, Saturday, May the 10th. The Rag, 1 p.m. But a Photoshop done to it where it says cancelled with a red background, white block cap letters. 12 minutes later, a statement lands in our email inbox from the Munster Camogie Council saying, as the committee in charge of the Munster Championship, we have reviewed the situation regarding tomorrow's Munster final. As the current Camogie rules of play are still in place and the players have indicated they would not be prepared to play the game in Scorts, the decision has been made to defer the game in the best interests of all players and officials involved. The details of the rescheduled fixture will be released in due course. Christine Ryan, Chairperson, Munster Council. Delighted to say that Sarah O'Donovan is with us. I'm sure you're delighted to have the phone ring at 8:30 on a Friday evening. Even by Camogie's recent standards, Sarah, I'm not sure too many people actually saw this coming.
This is a new low. And as long ago as an hour ago, or as shortly as an hour ago, I had confirmation that the game was going ahead. The broadcasters were confident it was going ahead. I don't know where this change in mood has come from, because genuinely at 7 p.m, Clubber, who were, you know, organised to broadcast the game, had been told it was going ahead.
Let's go back to the statement from the Cork and Waterford senior Camogie panels on Wednesday. Let's just remind everybody what was said from the players earlier this week. We look forward to representing ourselves, our clubs, our counties and our supporters in Saturday's Munster final. We will not be making any further media comment. We will be at the Rag in Tipperary with the intention of getting the better of each other on the field of play. We will be togged out wearing shorts. That is our choice. Tonight, the Munster Camogie Council have basically said, no, it's not. No, you won't.
They met this morning. The Munster Council met this morning. Or we were told they met this morning. Patrick O'Donovan was on the radio this evening, and Patrick O'Donovan said that in the best interest of the game, it should go ahead. Now, he then revoked that decision and said, I didn't say that, but he clearly said he shouldn't see why the shorts would stop the girls from playing tomorrow. How and where did this communication get lost? I'm baffled. I have no idea. Genuinely no idea why the Munster Council think that it is better for this game not to go ahead.
It is, and it has been, a complete PR disaster from a Camogie standpoint. But even after everything we've had over the last few days, Sarah, you could maybe make a case that the Camogie Association could salvage something by letting the game go ahead tomorrow, letting the players wear what they want, going to their Congress in a couple of weeks, changing the rules after the fact in a couple of weeks' time, and then this story dies. So as of this morning, you could maybe give the Camogie Association that. But as of tonight, as of this decision to cancel tomorrow's game, that's taken away from them now, that the last leg they had to stand on is gone.
I was in the minority yesterday when I said this wasn't over. I was in the minority when I said this is the start line. I was very concerned yesterday that the Munster Council and the Camogie Association would do something like this. And to let it go to 8 o'clock on a Friday night, when the players have probably packed their gear bags, when the bus driver has put diesel in the bus, when the timeframes for tomorrow's training sessions, not training sessions, but the whole course of the day has been mapped out. The girls have been fueling since this morning. You know, their nutritionists have given them their plans for the day. For the Munster Council to wait until 8 o'clock tonight, essentially at a time when news is dead. Everyone who releases something that wants to be buried puts it out on Friday night at 8 o'clock.
Right.
And this is essentially what the Munster Council have done. And it is the most cowardly thing they have done in the whole course of this debacle.
Can I ask you to explain to us what this line means? The decision has been made to defer the game in the best interests of all players and officials involved. How is it in the best interests of the players?
I can only contend, when you read it earlier, I said the only people who this is benefiting is the officials, because maybe they were the ones who genuinely couldn't bring themselves to abandon a game. And maybe they were the ones who said, we can't stand over not playing this game. And maybe they made themselves unavailable because they didn't want the scrutiny. But in that case, Munster Council should have not included in the best interests of the players. They should have left that first segment out and said, in the best interest of the officials and in the best interest of the delegates and everyone who's involved in this, we don't and can't take the scrutiny. And if they had said that and been open about that, I would have understood that. But to include the players in this, just having told you what plans the players would have made today, the parents, the families, everybody involved in this, everyone who is committed to going there tomorrow from both counties, this is a lot of planning, and to wait till 8 o'clock tonight to pull the rug from under these players is not in their best interests.
The point of Congress coming and going in a couple of weeks and us all moving on from this and forgetting this, particularly from the standpoint of the players that were due to play tomorrow, that ship's now sailed, right? Like, this is a really sickening blow that kind of instigates a greater sense of movement, I'd imagine, regarding the Camogie Association. Because in this one instance, like, you have the thing that will correct the laws or the rules or whatever the case may be in a couple of weeks. But what's happened tonight just feels a little cynical, and it feels completely unnecessary. And there might have been some goodwill that would have come from, you know, an early special Congress, whatever was coming down the tracks in a couple of weeks. I just really feel tonight just is a complete U-turn and all of that. And there will be long-term anger, especially from those players, because of how this specific game has been handled.
And they are right to feel aggrieved. You know, they've been training since last January, and they were looking to play this game tomorrow. Not out of, like, they had made their stance known on Wednesday. They had public support. In some instances, when you take on a protest, you don't have support. The girls had massive support in their own counties and across the country. And I think they had been buoyed by this support and had confidence in knowing that they were doing the right thing. And I genuinely believed they were doing the right thing. When you have the Shannon, when you have the Oireachtas telling you are doing the right thing, then of course you think that you're doing the right thing. And I was really proud of the players from Cork, Waterford, Kilkenny, Dublin, even Galway and Clare last night had a challenge match, stood together in their shorts. There has been a massive groundswell of support. And for the Munster Council to ignore that, for the Camogie Association to ignore that, it feels like a massive own goal. And I'm gutted for the players this evening that this is a slap in the face for all of the years of commitment that they've given to the game.
What were you hearing from the camp at around 7 o'clock? I mean, I just can't get over that, by the way, Sarah. That was the first thing you said in this, that, like, this is such a reflex decision in terms of what they were aware of. Like, to be properly preparing for it only 2 hours ago before we've been chatting to you is astonishing to learn.
Look, you'll understand, and I understand, we've been speaking to lots of different people over the past number of days. And, you know, this morning I was a little concerned when I heard Munster Council were meeting to discuss whether the game would go ahead. I hadn't heard anything during the day to say that it wouldn't go ahead. And then this evening I had gotten a couple of messages to say that Clubber, the broadcaster, had been told that the game would go ahead. And of course they would know that the game was going ahead because they have to plan for it. You know, they're going to broadcast the game tomorrow. The logistics of setting that up, of course they had to know that it was going ahead. And as far as I'm aware, at 7 p.m. this evening, they were of the opinion that the game was going ahead and that the players would be wearing shorts. So what changed in 90 minutes to 2 hours?
It's a final question, Sarah, and it's kind of a broad one. I know I keep mentioning it in this, but this does feel like a new low in this whole saga. What do you hope, other than the obvious thing of the players being able to wear what they want on the pitch, other than that, what do you think And what do you hope for with regards to change in Camogie on the back of all of this? Because it feels like this could be an opportunity. This has got so bad now.
So I had been listening to Aisling Mar just a while ago, actually, and Aisling and Sinead Wild had both put forward kind of their sense that they still felt like the motion would go against them in 2 weeks. And they felt that if it did go against them, that the protest would escalate and that there would be no championship. And they went on the record this evening to say that. So I think they felt the mood wasn't as, I suppose, clear cut in Camogie circles as it possibly felt in the public sphere.
So as of right now, Sarah, are you fearful that this year's All-Ireland Championship is under threat?
If the motion will not be passed in 2 weeks on the 22nd of May, there is absolutely no possibility that those players will line out for championship.
What an unbelievable situation. I don't really know what to say, Sarah, other than thanks very much. And with regards to potential new dates for this, the obvious thing is that the Munster Council want this to happen after Congress in a few weeks' time. So we're talking 2.5 weeks. That's what I'm reading from tonight's statement. So I'm not sure what your expectations are. Granted, neither of us have actually spoken to anybody in the camp since the news has come out.
I would say that it's running right into the All-Ireland Championship. What it will do is we'll make a mockery of the Munster Championship. It was a standalone competition that was played in this window to allow the competition to get the, I suppose, gravitas that it deserves. And when it's going to be sandwiched between an All-Ireland Championship and, you know, Congress now, it's going to be a non-event. So they've actually managed to diminish their competition by banning or cancelling the game tomorrow. If they had been brave enough to allow the game to go ahead tomorrow with the players wearing shorts, it could have been one of the biggest supported games of the year. So certainly egg on the Munster Council face now, because in 2 weeks' time, if Congress goes ahead and the motion is passed, those games will mean for nothing.
Sarah Donovan, really appreciate your time over Friday evening. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Owen.
Yeah, hopefully that one gets solved soon. It's LGFA now tomorrow in Dungarvan at 2. Waterford and Cork meet for the right to face Kerry in the 2025 Munster LGFA Senior Football Championship Final. Well, hopefully this Waterford and Cork clash does in fact go ahead. And ahead of this must-win game for both counties, the Big Red Bench's Ger McCarthy spoke to Waterford Senior Manager Tomás McAteer and Cork Senior Manager Joe Carroll. And let's hear from our own Rebels boss first.
On Sunday in Dungarvan at 2 p.m. in the final round of the round robin section of this year's TG Carr Munster Senior LGFA Championship, it's Waterford against Cork. Delighted to be joined on the line here on the Big Red Bench by the Cork Senior Manager Joe Carroll to preview that match. Joe, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are you?
Thanks, Joe. Not too bad.
We're coming off a very, very positive performance and result in Feathered last weekend, overcoming Tipperary. This weekend, you face an equally, if not harder, task. Joe, you're taking on a Waterford team that ran the All-Ireland Champions to within a point last weekend. You know what you're coming up against, and I know you know quite a lot of the Waterford players. So how have preparations gone since the Feathered victory over Tipperary?
Yeah, we've trained. We trained last night, Joe. Is being a bit disrupted slightly at the moment with exams with a lot of the college students, but there's nothing we can do about that. I presume other counties that have exam students are probably the same. We're looking forward to it. Look, it's going to be a big jump up from what we've been playing. Waterford has been going extremely well all year, finished third in the league, ran Kerry very close in the league game as well, possibly have beaten them in the league game, and obviously ran them to a point last Sunday in the Munster Championship match. And so they're obviously going to be going into it in good state as well.
They certainly are. They're two main scorers as ever, Kellyanne Hogan and Lauren McGregor. I know you know these players well. I know you know the Waterford set up pretty well from over the last couple of years. This is a county that's trying to make the breakthrough, Joe, at ladies football at Munster level, which is not easy with yourselves and Kerry and Tip over the last number of years, but they've been making some serious strides.
Yeah, they've been making serious strides, in particular this year. Like, they've looked very, very impressive. Like in any of the league games that they've lost, they've been lost very narrowly. They drew with a Dublin team earlier on in the year and could easily have gone their way as well, you know. So they could easily have been in fierce close contention for a league final. They finished third, for a league final position. So their standards have been set very high this year, and they have a lot of extremely good players. We've had a good few of them in UCC over the last few years, and they have performed very well for us. And their top class players, like Kellyanne and Breed McMahon, and Anya Neal, and Eve Power, all these players are extremely talented players, and you throw in the Murrays in from Cumber Rangers, like, so they're top class players.
They are. You've got some top class players yourself in the Cork lineup. I wanted to talk to you about one of those, the returning Anya Terry O'Sullivan from Bear, 3 points against Tipperary last week. She's a player that has been working her way back to full fitness. She got a good run out against Tipperary last weekend. You must be very pleased with Anya Terry's progress, because she's such an experienced player and a useful person to have both on and off the field.
Yeah, and she's been through the mill before, and she knows what it takes, and she's put in a lot of individual work herself since I approached her first to push. Coming in, she was probably maybe a bit surprised to get the call. She hadn't played that much football in the past 12 months, and she's put a lot of work into it. Look, and it went reasonably well for her last week, and I know she knows herself that there's even more in her, so hopefully that will come as the time goes on and she gets fitter and a bit more match practice into her as well.
You've had a few injuries, but the depth of your panel, the likes of Anna Ryan from Ornabby, Hannah Looney, Leah Hallahan, Sive McGoldrick, and Eleanor Hurley as well from Island Rovers, a lot of names coming off the bench last week against Tip, and you've been mixing and matching throughout the National League as well. Are you happy with where you are now in terms of, in your head, do you have your strongest 15 if they were all available, or are you still working towards that as we head to the All-Ireland Championship?
Yeah, I suppose we're probably still working towards it. We're getting closer to it, all right, sir, but we're still working towards it. You know, we haven't used a lot of players, and we use a good few again. We used 5 subs, I think, again last Sunday, and all the players that we put on had a huge impact on the game. And I don't think that, I suppose you have to know what your best 15 is, but in the modern game, because it is so intense and there's so much running involved in it, 15 isn't going to win your match. So that, I suppose we've been working on getting a bigger panel and bigger, better strength in our panel, so that we have players to use them when we need it. And I think we're happy enough with that. Like, a lot of players know over the last couple of weeks and fairness have put their hand up for places, and there's even more that haven't got the end time that as well are pushing very hard.
Just finally, Joe, goal is going to be important in such a tight Munster and Provincial Championship. You got 3 last weekend, 2 from Katie Quirk, 1 from Laura O'Mahony. I would imagine, again, the onus when the goal chances are on, you're going to be going forward against Waterford as ever.
Yeah, sure, look, 3 points is better than 1 point at any given time, and I think even last Sunday, like, Tip had a reasonably good start, and we got a goal then, and it kind of turned the match in its head a bit for them for a while coming up to halftime, even though we were playing with a bit of a breeze. And again, in the second half, like, I suppose it helped as well. The goals were really put pace, and goals have big impacts in games. Like, I think Kerry have been proving that in their games, that they've been getting a lot of goals, and keep telling they got them against us. So, like, you know, we will be focused, but I suppose getting scores on the board and defending properly is equally as important as it.
Certainly is. On Sunday, 2:00 in Dungarvan, the final round of the round robin section of this year's TG Garr Munster LGFA Senior Football Championship. It's Waterford against Cork. Joe Carroll to you, your backroom team and players, from everybody here in the Big Red Bench, the very best of luck.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, it's time now to hear from the Waterford manager, Tomás McAteer.
This weekend in Dungarvan on Sunday at 2 p.m. it's the final round of the TG Carr LGFA Munster Senior Football Championship, and it's Waterford against Cork. Must win game for both teams. The winners go through to a Munster final. So a lot on the line. We're delighted here on the Big Red Bench to be joined by the Waterford manager, Tomás McAteer. Tomás, how are you?
Hey, not too bad, sir. How's it going?
Really good to talk to you again. For those who don't know, you've got a long association with Cork LGFA and working with Shane Ronan down through the years, but you decided to take the Waterford job at the end of last year. It has gone very, very well for you, and congratulations on that. Can I ask you, why did you decide to take the Waterford job?
Look, I'm living down here now with 5 years, you know. I'm just living just outside Dungarvan there with the last 5 years. So, you know, I suppose it's a lot easier to be sitting into the car to drive 10 minutes in the road and travelling further afield. So that's probably one of the reasons, I suppose, with a young family and kids are growing up. So just to be at home a little bit more was probably an easy enough kind of pick, really, that it's so close to me. So that's one of the reasons, I suppose, that had a big influence on it.
You also have had at your disposal, what I've been looking at, like yourself, over the last couple of years, a very good and a young panel with some experienced players to add to boot. And since you've taken over, Waterford have enjoyed a really productive Division 1 campaign, finishing third. You must have been delighted, first of all, with the reaction that you've gotten from the players, and that finish in Division 1 especially. That's a fantastic achievement, considering the quality of teams there.
Yeah, look, you'll take positives out of finishing third. It's not... who didn't finish in the top two, I suppose, is the negative point of it. But I wouldn't be looking too much into the league, really. You look at the teams and what teams are trying out. Like, you know, Dublin are in there now and they're trying to find a new crop of core players. That was one result, I suppose. Look, Kerry were trying out new players and we played them as well, and so were Meade. So I wouldn't, it's probably not a form guide, you know. It's, you know, some teams try to follow kind of form like that, but I don't think it is. If you kind of go through the panels and the teams that were out against us, it was a very mixed kind of a league. Division 1, it was a strange one this year. I know Kerry ended up winning it again, and Armagh were the same, actually. They've been trying players as well, so it didn't go along the same lines as before, so I wouldn't be reading too much into the form of that.
Okay, well, whatever about Division 1, beating Tipperary in the first round of the Munster Senior Football Championship and then running Kerry to within a point, you must be pleased with your recent form heading into this must-win game.
Oh, yeah, look, we've done our best. Like, we went away to Tipperary in the first round. It was a hard place to go. Like, they're very well set up. It was always going to be tough, and I was just glad to get out of there, to be honest with you, at the end of it. You know, we were down a player for a little bit of the game, and I was just delighted to get out of there that day with the win on the board and see where it took us then last week. And look, Kerry came to town last weekend down to Dungarvan, and Kerry knew if they'd won the game, they were in the final. So they went full tilt at that, and it was a decent game. You know, we were a good bit behind, all right, at one stage, and maybe Kerry took the foot off the pedal a little bit, but we kind of dragged it back down a bit. But look, just we're happy enough with that. We've kind of kept ourselves in the competition now, and it's round three, so we'd be generally be overall happy with that as a squad.
And it's a big challenge for you this weekend on Sunday in Dungarvan, Tomás, because you know the Cork setup very, very well, and this is going to be a really tough challenge for your players.
Ah, yeah, look, they came straight out of Division 2 as expected. They were all very much the same panel that was there for the last couple of years. Like, they were not in the semi-final the last 2 years. Like, they're a top four team in the country. Like, if you go through it like that, you know, it's the business end of the championship. It's when you look at see who's there. So they've been there over the last few years, like, and it's the core group of players are still the same ones driving it on for them. So look, we're not sure. Look, our own boat. Like, we need to find out where we are, and we'll probably find out soon enough, I suppose.
Yes, because Waterford, one of those counties that have been, you know, close to a big breakthrough, I would say, Tomás, over the last couple of years, just the general results and the performances. It's not easy to break through in Munster, as you know only too well, with the quality of Cork, Kerry and Tipperary. But Waterford are in amongst those counties now. Do you have a goal for the rest of the season, or are you just taking it one game at a time?
No, look, it's been true since the beginning that we started back in December. We took every game in three, or everything in three blocks. With every competition, it didn't matter where it was, we just took three game blocks. That's all we did, and this is the last round of the three game block that we're in at the moment. So we've put ourselves in a position that you know, a result, we'll see where it ends up with. But like, we're playing a team that's pretty battle hardened, that has championship experience at the latter end over the last 3 years. Look at Waterford, have been in the relegation battle three of the last 4 years. So you've a team that knows how to win championship matches, and you've a team that's trying to learn how to win championship matches. So it'll be an interesting one.
It certainly will. In Dungarvan at 2 o'clock on Sunday, the TG Cahir Munster LGFA Senior Football Championship clash between Waterford and Cork. Whoever wins will go through to a Munster final and face Kerry. Tomás McAteer, Waterford Senior Manager, thank you very, very much for taking the time to speak to us here on the Big Red Bench.
No bother at all.
To the Munster Hurling Championship, and Tipperary lead clear at half-time. Tommy Rooney has the half-time report from Ennis.
It is half-time in Zimmer Biomet Parky Sog, and it's Tipperary who appear to be in total control here after a superb first half display that leaves them 9 points ahead at the break on a scoreline of 4-9 to 1-9. A pair of goals apiece from full forward John McGrath and centre forward Andrew Ormond gave Tipperary the dream start to this must-win clash. McGrath had his first goal in 5 minutes, blazed over for a point a few minutes later with the goal at his mercy, and buried his second goal after about 16 minutes of play. By that stage, Andrew Ormond had already scored his first goal, and he'd had a second in the 22nd minute, finishing a rebound after Ever Quilligan saved from Jake Morris. That fourth goal sent them 10 points clear, and by that stage Ryan Taylor was the only Clare player to score from play. Mark Rogers' free taking had kept them in touch up to that point. Clare did improve after that, David Reedy missing a good goal chance before setting up Mark Rogers for their badly needed goal moments later. Clare will need a second half performance similar to what they produced against Cork when they trailed by 12 at the break that day. There's a breeze at play today, but it's not like it was 3 weeks ago. Half time in Parc Cresog is Tipperary leading by 9, 4-9 to Clare's 1-9.
Yeah, it'd be great to see Tipperary keep the lead in that one. We have a bit more of recording for this one, but I'll play out a small segment of what I have, as just we don't have the time at the moment. But Tim Clancy, of course, departed ways as manager of Cork City last night. It was an interesting season anyway following Cork City, but things definitely got a lot more intriguing as we now look for a new manager.
It was against Derry City that they could play. They just haven't been able to do it for 90 minutes for whatever reason. And I suppose, look, the buck stops with the manager there as well. Like, you know what I mean? He's the one organising the team. He's the one picking the team. He's the one setting up the team. So I just don't know where City go from here, to be honest. So I'm really fascinated to see who they bring in. It can't be a stopgap until the end of the season, Dan. It can't be. It needs to be a new man brought in to shore this up and bring in his own ideas, get City back organised, get a tune out of these players and try and inch them back towards that 8th place and safety. So that has to come in. It can't be an interim situation. Like that Greg Bulger, as you mentioned, that would be an interim kind of stopgap. It can't be a stopgap. It needs to be a permanent permanent successor, and he needs to come in and he needs to hit the ground running.
We're surprised to see Tim leave last night. You know, you think you might leave it till the day after and we'll let emotions settle down a small bit and then make your decision maybe with a clear head.
I was, but like, do you know, I just got a feeling that he was either gone, that he was gone. I just had a feeling the way, like, you know, that the post-match interview didn't take place. Normally, if like your manager doesn't do it, an assistant does it. Do you know what I mean? So like that's happened so many times. You don't think anything of it. The fact that no one came out is like, right, there's something going on here. So when I saw the statement, wasn't massively surprised. As I said, look, I've great time for Tim personally. Very, very nice guy. He's always been very, very good to the media. He's been very good to us at Red FM. But I just, like, I saw him last night. Sorry about the last. He just kind of shut my hand and he just kind of. You kind of got a feeling that he was gone. It just was a case of, did he walk or was he pushed? And in the end, it was all of his own accord that he'd left. So we wish him the very, very best luck. I think he'll be back in the game at some stage. But it is disappointing for City to now not have a manager. We're what? In the 10th of May, we've got 2 wins down out of 15 games. We haven't been scoring goals, conceded a lot. It's a big job for the next man to come in. So we wish him the very, very best luck. He's going to need it.
Absolutely. Well, we're wishing best luck to Tim. I feel like it's us who nearly needs the best of luck. But anyway, Rory, thanks so much for joining me.
All right, buddy, anything.
Cheers, lad. All right, that's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. But fear not, Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next. Dan Casey, signing off.